Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, everybody? It is a big day. It is Tuesday, and it's time for another episode of Flippin' Bat. Team USA plays in just a little while. We're recording in the morning, and they're about to play. We got a lot to talk about here in the baseball world, though. Miguel Cabrera has announced his retirement after next year. We got some Hall of Fame ballot news. Justin Verlander has talked to the Dodgers. We're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about the Jose Abreu signing for the Astros. This one is going to be a lot of fun. Let's get to it.
It's a blowout. 8th inning, 10-3. Bases are loaded for Verlander, who waits out of the real pitch. He swings, and it's a high fly ball. Deep center field. It is gone. Home run. And a huge bat flip to celebrate. All right, Ben, start the show already.
Alex, we got another episode. And that means another day wearing our Team USA sweaters, because guess what? Team USA is about to play. Big day. And I want to say another day wearing our sweaters on the show, but I believe this is your first time actually wearing it on the show, despite seeing you wear it everywhere. So it is an honor for you to finally feel like it's appropriate to wear it on Flippin' Bats.
I feel like this sweater is just a part of me now. I wore it to the Chargers-Chiefs game. I've worn it both their first two matches, worn it to a pickleball tournament. And now, because USA is playing today, obviously, I believe that we can win. I believe that we can win. I've been like singing this all day in my head. So excited for USA today. Huge do or die game. Whew, we got this. Let's hope we're undefeated wearing the sweaters. So let's keep it rolling.
Let's hope Team USA stinks less than your sweater does.
Oh, stop. I smell great.
But we have a lot to talk about in the baseball world. And this is going to be a lot of fun today, because we have Bryce Harper to talk about. We have Miguel Cabrera, the new inductees that are going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot. Not official inductees, yeah. The potential new inductees. Got a lot to talk about there. Justin met with the Dodgers yesterday, so got a lot to talk about there. This one's going to be fun. Oh, and guess that free agent, which I hear is just getting tougher and tougher and tougher. So everybody can join me for that, where I get three teams and have to guess the name of the free agent. So we'll see. But first up, Bryce Harper.
Big news.
Big news, because we knew his elbow wasn't in good shape. That was known. But we didn't know how bad and what the surgery, or maybe not surgery, would look like. But on the 23rd of November, so about a week ago, Bryce Harper underwent Tommy John surgery on his ulnar collateral ligament in his right arm and will be out for a while. So big news there, obviously, for the remainder of the year after he hurt it. For the majority of the year last year, he was just DHing because of this injury. Then he was out for a while with the broken hand, then came back and wasn't great until the playoffs, where honestly the Phillies aren't in the World Series without Bryce Harper. So now he's getting this surgery. Prognosis isn't great here. Obviously, for a pitcher, it's basically a full year you're out. Bryce Harper, he's a DH. We saw this happen recently with Shohei Ohtani in the last few years, that he ends up getting Tommy John surgery but is still able to DH. So when will Bryce Harper be able to DH? Well, seemingly around the All-Star break is what the Phillies themselves tweeted out, that the prognosis is return to DH around the All-Star break and a possible return to right field towards the end of the season. But big news here, and I don't want to say most importantly, but sadly, this means Bryce Harper will not be playing in the World Baseball Classic in March.
That is sad. But you got to think of the long-term effects here, right? Because if you have that elbow issue and you don't take care of it now, this could linger for the remainder of your career. Now, as you mentioned, for a pitcher, it's a lot more serious. It can be anywhere from 1 to 2 years for them to get back to their full potential on the mound. But as you mentioned, we just saw this with Shohei Ohtani back in 2018 when he got Tommy John, and he was back within 7 months DHing while he was still rehabbing his arm to pitch, which is kind of right in the middle of the two kind of time windows that we have of Bryce Harper would be 8 months if it's by the All-Star break, 6 months if it's early May, and Ohtani was 7 months. So it's kind of right. It feels right that 6 to 8 months until you get Bryce Harper back DHing. So it's not as bad, and it's going to be better for him in the long run, knowing that he's not going to have a lingering issue, someone who's an MVP caliber player.
Yeah, I mean, you also can't, like, I don't think it's realistic for Bryce Harper to DH for the rest of his career. Like, this isn't, if you have a tear in your UCL as bad as he apparently had needing to get Tommy John, there's no possible way you could go out there and throw in right field. No. I mean, this was a necessity. There's no way around it. It sucks for the Phillies, who were great and will be good next year and will be missing Bryce Harper for much of the year. So this is a big blow to the Phillies. Unfortunate for Harper, obviously one of the biggest stars in the game, MVP the year before last, and then obviously became a lifelong hero in Philly for what he did in the playoffs. And I think Joe Davis said it best after his homer. It was the swing of his life against the Padres. It was awesome. But the Phillies have... there's some concerns there now, some big ones.
Not only with Bryce Harper not there, but they have a lot of holes to fill. They are losing 10 arms, potentially. They have 10 arms that are free agents, which is kind of a big deal considering that wasn't necessarily their strong point.
That was their week.
In the postseason. But now you don't have Bryce Harper. You've talked about Trey Turner. They should push hard to get him over there, which could kind of make sense. He could fill the slot, not only shortstop, but he also can play outfield. So that could be a potential idea. But I don't know. Who should the Phillies go after hard now in free agency? Now that you don't have Harper, you have 10 arms that are free agents. You need some beef in that lineup and obviously in the rotation and bullpen.
I think the answer is still Trey Turner. When I look at the Phillies, sans Bryce Harper, their offense is still elite, and you're going to get him back hopefully around the All-Star break. So I don't have any immediate offensive concerns with the Phillies because of this. I think the glaring issue for them and the perfect fit, as I've been saying for months now, half a year it feels like, is get Trey Turner. He's the perfect fit. He wants to come back east. He wants to play with Bryce Harper, which might take a little longer than he thought if he ends up on the Phillies, but fix that middle infield hole that you have. And in the meantime, he's versatile. So you know what? Like, I don't think Trey Turner wants to play outfield. I think he wants to play shortstop. But, you know, you have here, your outfield currently would be Brandon Marsh in center, Schwarber in left, Castellanos in right. I think it just gives you more flexibility. So go get Trey Turner, make him your middle infielder, and then if need be on a day or two, put him out in center field where he's played plenty before, move Brandon Marsh or give somebody a day. So I don't look at this Bryce Harper news and say, oh my God, the Phillies need to go get an outfielder. It has to happen. I don't. I think their two issues that remain the same are get a middle infielder and do multiple things with the pitching. I think having the studs at the top of the rotation that they do, great. I think they need another back into the rotation starter, so not one of the elite guys on the market. I'm not expecting them to go get a Jacob deGrom or Justin. I don't see that happening, but there's plenty of guys out there to go get and to bolster the back end of your rotation. But they need five guys in the bullpen. They desperately, as you mentioned,
10 arms that are free agents
that are leaving. And the arms were the weakness of this team. The bullpen was the big glaring weakness. You had guys that were able to come in and get big outs. Obviously, the David Robertson pickup was big for them, but he's one of the arms out.
Syndergaard also.
Syndergaard out was a guy that could provide back into the rotation help or bullpen help. Eflin was a guy that we saw them turn to multiple times in the playoffs. Alvarado is a guy that can get outs for them, but they desperately need bullpen help. And it's not just an arm or two. I'm not looking for them to go get a stud closer, which they need, by the way. I'm looking for them to go get five bullpen arms, just guys that can get outs that you trust at the back end of their bullpen. That's what they need. Go get Trey Turner, go get bullpen arms, and you will be back in the playoffs, no doubt.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of attack on is, okay, yeah, you're not going to have your MVP guy, Bryce Harper, for the first half of the season, most likely. Not the end of the world. Special things happen when you lose a top player. Guys come together. They figure out ways to get it done. The biggest issue is pitching. You're not going to win games, especially late in games, if you don't have the right bullpen. And that should be the biggest concern of how they get back to the postseason, is rounding out their entire pitching.
Yep. Absolutely. So Bryce Harper out for a bit. It will be a tough blow for the Phillies. I believe they can ride the ship and will be just fine once he comes back, for sure. But from one guy that we won't see until probably the All-Star break, until another guy that, Alex,
his final year,
we won't be seeing after this next year. And that is tough. This is a tough one for me. Miguel Cabrera has announced he is retiring after the 2023 season. This is a guy that I have been around, honestly, the majority of my life.
Yeah.
My brother was drafted in, 2004, right? And in 2004, I'm 12 years old. I was up in Detroit a lot starting in 2006. At that point, I was 14 years old. Miguel Cabrera was there, and I was there for the entirety of that Detroit Tigers tenure with Justin, and I became teammates with Miguel Cabrera in spring training. We were in the same spring training lineup a couple of times. I pinch ran for Miguel Cabrera one time in spring training. I got to know him very well. And there's no doubt about it. Miguel Cabrera is one of the greatest of all time. And he is one of the most exciting guys to just watch on the field, because he has so much fun playing the game of baseball. And he really helped me in my career, especially when I was in college, because I would go up, watch him play. And I had the fortune of hitting in a cage with Miguel Cabrera when I was a college player. I'd go up, we'd hit in the cage, we'd talk about hitting, but then I'd watch him play. And you just realize, this guy, when the lights turn on and he steps between the white lines, everything that he's worked on, he just goes and plays, and he has so much fun. And when I watch Miguel Cabrera, and what I will think of when I think of Miguel Cabrera is, one, how great he was, and two, how much fun he had playing the game. And it taught me a lot. It taught me to, hey, just step back for a second and just remember, this is a game. And you can't get too caught up in going over two or over three in your first few at bats. Just keep having fun, keep going about your business, and just remember you're playing a game. And nobody does that better than Miggy. I mean, you look around, he's always messing around with kids in the stands. He's messing around with, I will never forget him and Adrian Beltre, the relationship that they had. And Miggy would just always touch Beltre's head as he would round the bases. And Beltre hated that, despised it. But the two of them had just so much fun on a baseball field. And now it's all coming to an end for Miggy, one of the greatest of all time, 3,000 hit club, 500 home run club, one of just 33 members of the 3,000 hit club, and one of just 28 members of the 500 home run club, and just
triple crown,
the seventh,
yeah,
to do both of those, the seventh all time to have 3,000 hits and 500 or more home runs, joining Hank Aaron, Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols, Willie Mays, Rafael Palmeiro, and Eddie Murray. Now that is quite the class to be in. So I'm excited for Miggy. It's been a tough last few years of his career, but not without the milestones that he's been on. He's been on a tear, it feels like, the last couple of years, getting to 3,000 hits, getting to 500 home runs. It's been special. And of all those names I mentioned, seven guys to have 3,000 hits and 500 home runs, Miggy will be just the third to ever do it with an average over 300, a batting average over 300, with just Willie Mays and Hank Aaron being the other two. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, my first year covering the league in 2012 was when he won the Triple Crown. And he also has like a fun relationship with Albert Pujols. He was also, him and Mike Trout were kind of going back and forth in that conversation of the MVP. But I honestly love when players do this and they let everybody know that this is going to be their final year, because then teams and fans get to honor you. They get to celebrate you. And you really, I think, as a player and as a person, get to reflect on what this career and what this game meant to you. Each ballpark, if it's the last time you're there, you really get to be a part of that. Teams honor you. I remember when Jeter was doing his farewell tour, like every stadium he went to, they presented him with a gift. Like, it's just, it's a special thing that if you're able to do that, if you're lucky enough to reach that point in your career where you have accomplished everything that you want to accomplish, and you know that you've given the game everything that you have, and it feels right, and it's ready, and you're time to step away, I think it's so magical and special for a player of his caliber to be able to do this and allow everybody to celebrate him.
I understand when players don't want to do it because they don't want to make it all about them on their way out, but I do think it's important to do it. I think it's important for the game of baseball. I think it's important for the player. I think it's important for the fans. I think it's awesome. And obviously, you have to be a certain caliber player. Like, you know, won't name any names out there, but the strong majority of people shouldn't be like, all right, it's going to be my last year. Like, you have to be one of the all-time greats, and Miguel Cabrera is. And it's going to be a sad
celebration, happy. We just saw Pujols do it. We knew it was going to be his last season, and he got to go back to the team that started the machine.
Yeah.
And it was this magical farewell tour, and you're able to have that opportunity as well.
Yeah.
I think it's special.
Absolutely. So Miguel Cabrera, this will be his final season, and one of the greatest of all time. Certainly, I'd say with Albert Pujols, these are the two greatest players of the generation. And one thing I think is cool, when you look back over the last – 2 decades in baseball, and you point to names that you could say are all-time greats.
Yeah.
Right? You look at Miggy and Pujols, and then you look at Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, and then, you know, there are plenty of names you can sprinkle in that have been linked to steroids. But these two guys that we're talking about, Pujols and specifically Miggy now, because this is who we're talking about, never has been. And there's something extra special about that, because he played through the steroid era.
Yep.
Right? Like, he came into the league while it was still very prevalent and was never linked to it, and has always had, done it the right way. And the retirement tour will be nice. It'll be special, but it'll be sad. The baseball world will be a sad place without Miggy, because he has been a bright spot in the game for a long, long time. But
do you think he'll be a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. Well, voters
are weird.
Voters are weird. Somebody's
really
gonna. The only one is Mariano Rivera. Like, even, like, they're, like, King Griffey Jr., somebody voted no for him getting.
What about Albert Pujols? Because he just retired. So he's coming up in a couple years.
I want to believe they both are. And this is my problem. Like, I don't want to say it's my problem, but I believe there are certain names that absolutely should have been first ballot Hall of Famers. Mariano Rivera being one of them. King Griffey Jr. Derek Jeter should have been.
Yeah. That is ridiculous.
Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, Barry Bonds, but that's a different story for
we'll
a different
that in a
day.
Bit.
But I think Miggy is clearly first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think it should be unanimous. But because of I know their track record, and he probably won't be unanimous. But that is certainly where he is heading, Alex, and that is where we are heading.
Yes, it is.
Which is to some Hall of Fame news. One, the new ballot was released, and all of the new names that will be on the ballot for the first time have been released. And I always find this, like, it's an honor to be listed on this ballot. Some of the names.
Well, I mean, they say, like, nominated when you, like, get nominated for an Academy Award, but you don't win. Right. So do you say, like, Hall of Fame nominated? Is that a thing? Like,
yeah, it is. I remember, I think it was last year. It was either last year or 2 years ago, Nick Swisher was on the ballot. And I remember he tweeted out or put on social media, like, what an honor it is to be on there. He knows he's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. In fact, he's not on it this year because you need 5% of the vote to stay on.
Yep.
But a lot of to get on the list, it's pretty cool. So a lot of these guys that will be on the list for the first time, I always find this list interesting, right? So I'm going to read it off because some of these names are funny. Bronson Arroyo, Carlos Beltran, Matt Cain, R.A. Dickey, Jacoby Ellsbury, Andre Ethier, J.J. Hardy, John Lackey, Mike Napoli, Johnny Peralta, Francisco Rodriguez, Houston Street, Jared Weaver, and Jason Worth will all be on the list for the very first time. In fact, only one player that will be on the list for the last time, Jeff Kent. We can talk about him more in a second. But Alex, those are all first-timers that are going to be on here. The strong, strong majority of those will be off after 1 year. But some interesting names for
will
sure.
Will any of them get elected?
Will any of them get elected? I'm going to say, are you saying of these guys?
Of this, like, whole list. So
of the people that are on it for the first time, will any of them ever get on?
The list that we have right now, not just the first timers, but the whole 2023 Hall of Fame class. Because you just read the first time names that just got elected. But the BBWAA did not vote a player in the Hall of Fame 9 times. The most recent one was 2021. So it is possible to have this giant list and no one makes it in. So do you think, looking at this list, do we have like the whole list? Is that a thing? No?
Yeah, we have the whole list.
Do you think?
I mean, it's out.
Yeah.
I don't think this year anybody's getting in.
Ooh, that's a hot take. No one's getting in.
Well, here's my thoughts.
Okay.
Jeff Kent, who's an interesting one for me, most home runs ever for a second baseman. It's his last year on the ballot.
Okay.
But his last year he was at 32.7% of the vote. You need 75% to get in. So he's not going to make it. Scott Rolen becomes an interesting one for me because he's getting towards the end of his time on the ballot. And he's in the 60% range, right? So I would like to see Scott Rolen get in. 63.2% Scott Rolen was at in 2022. I think if Scott Rolen gets in, it'll be in his final year on the ballot. I don't think he gets up around that 65% range. I don't think he's tracking to get in, though. He's an 8-time gold glover. Obviously, we know him for the glove. He was good with the bat. I just don't think he's tracking to get in. I certainly don't think he gets in this year. I do think there are names on the list that, one, will get in, and then I'll give names that should get in that I'm not sure about. But on this list that I just mentioned.
Carlos Beltran.
The first-year guys.
You would think that would be a no-brainer.
Carlos Beltran.
But.
Should be in.
But he's a little tarnished from the Astros scandal. How much does that affect, I guess, all the voters and all the writers getting him in?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. We'll see. But for that, I don't think he gets in the first time around. I think he's a guy that
They make him wait.
And I don't think we know enough about I don't think we know enough about how voters are going to vote. I think a lot of the voters that are inside baseball, we don't need to get into a super long conversation here, but I think anybody that's inside of baseball knows that there was a glaring problem around the game of baseball. But when it came to the Houston Astros specifically in that year of 2017, which, by the way, he came from the Yankees in 2016, comes over to the Astros, this starts there. He's kind of the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of bears the brunt of that despite getting out that next year and then moving on elsewhere. But
yeah,
he was the guy there that a lot of people have talked about him being kind of the ringleader for all of that. So how are the voters going to vote there with Carlos Beltran? I don't know. His numbers certainly say he is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So, I mean, just 435 homers. I mean, one when you think switch hitters.
It's insane.
He's one of the greatest.
Nine-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glover.
One of the greatest of all time.
Two-time Silver Slugger, Rookie of the Year in 1999. Like, he's got all the stats.
2,700 hits, 312 stolen bases. The stats are there.
Yeah,
I don't think he gets in the first time. I think voters make him wait. I don't think voters know how other voters are going to vote, which I think people are going to make him wait there. I do think he gets in. Another name on this list that I think gets in, because I saw a lot of people look at this list and say, nobody really jumps out to me. Mm-hmm. You know who does?
Who?
Francisco Rodriguez.
Okay.
K-Rod.
Give it to us.
Very, very underrated here. Francisco Rodriguez is one of the greatest closers of all time. The fourth most saves ever. Right? He's behind Mo and Trevor Hoffman being those top two. He has a better career ERA than Trevor Hoffman. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman had the better career. But you look at K-Rod, he's a six-time All-Star, two-time Reliever of the Year. He holds the single-season save record, which is huge, I think. He's the only reliever ever to save more than 60 games in a season. That was his record year. Saved 62 games in 2008. Think about that. 62 saves in a season. You play 162 games. He saved 62 of them. Remarkable. His six seasons with 40-plus saves are third most in MLB history behind Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman, who had nine each. Top five in Cy Young voting three times. Sixth in MVP in 08. I mean, when you look at the career numbers, K-Rod should get in. He's a big name. I like him a lot. I think he's a no-doubter. I don't think it's the first time. I don't think it's the second time. But I do think he gets in.
So that's your player that you think should get in but probably won't.
I think Francisco Rodriguez should and will get in.
Oh, okay.
I have other. Who do you have that?
No. Wait, mine's the other side. So you think he should get in.
I think he should get in.
Who do you think?
And will get in.
Should get in. But won't.
I have a couple of other names.
Okay.
I grew up a big Atlanta Braves fan.
We know.
I grew up a big Andrew Jones fan.
Ooh.
I wore number 25 in Little League switched in high school. I wore number 25 all throughout Little League and middle school because of Andrew Jones. Put Andrew Jones in the Hall of Fame. What are we doing? Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. Come on. 10-time Gold Glover, 10 consecutive Gold Gloves. 10 consecutive Gold Glove Awards from 1998 to 2007. One of only four players to have won 10 Gold Gloves with 400 career home runs. Listen to these other names. They're all first ballot Hall of Famers. Willie Mays, Mike Schmidt, Ken Griffey Jr. What are we doing here? Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. When you think defense, when you think the greatest defenders of all time, your brain goes to Andrew Jones, who was clearly one of the greatest defenders of all time. A 24.2 defensive war from 1998 to 2007. Was the best of any position player, with future potential Hall of Famer Scott Rolen's 15.1 being second during that span. Think about that. Scott Rolen, 15.1 during that span, the second best. Andrew Jones was 24.2. It's truly remarkable how good defensively Andrew Jones was, and the offensive numbers are no slouch either. 434 home runs, 1,933 hits. The offensive numbers aren't bad enough to take him out of the Hall of Fame for how good he was defensively. There's no doubt in my mind he deserves to be in. It is frustrating that he isn't yet. He's one of six players to have reached the benchmarks of 350 or more homers, 100 stolen bases, and 1,500 hits through their age 30 season. Joining A-Rod, Griffey, Frank Robinson, Hank Aaron, and Mantle, and Andrew Jones. Ugh, I'm getting worked up over this more than I even thought I would.
I like it.
Andrew Jones should be in the Hall of Fame. He's my answer. I don't know if he will, but I absolutely think that he should, right?
Yep.
And he's in a category defensively with Scott Rolen, and I think maybe that leads to a name you might have.
Yeah. Well, my name is now on the Contemporary Era Committee ballot for Baseball Hall of Fame, and I know this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but baseball fans, it is time we let Barry Bonds enter the chat. He has etched his name in baseball history so much so that I believe it is comical that he is not in the Hall of Fame. Let me just read you off a couple of these stats here. He's one of the greatest baseball players of all time, the all-time leader in home runs, walks, intentional walks, WAR, 7-time MVP, 2-time batting champ, 12-time silver slugger, 14-time All-Star, 8 gold gloves. Not only do the numbers speak for itself, yes, it's an unpopular opinion because he was involved in a PED scandal, but you have some of the top players in the game today. Your AL reigning MVP, Aaron Judge, who has come out and said that he believes Barry Bonds' numbers are still the true leader numbers, the all-time home run, the single season all-time home run numbers, and it's time that we let him be a part of the game, that we still show his stats. That's the hardest part for me to wrap around. His name is still on all the lists at the top. We talk about him when we talk about other records. However, he is not in the Hall of Fame. No, it's time.
You know where I stand here.
It's time.
I consider Barry Bonds to be the greatest hitter of all time.
Yeah. Oh, and also remember, also an unpopular opinion, and fans probably don't want to hear it, a good chunk of the league was on PEDs at that time, right? Steroids, including
the
pitchers.
Right. The
including pitchers. You still have to hit the ball.
I consider Barry Bonds to be the greatest hitter of all time.
Yeah.
Now, the numbers and the stats that you're reading off, in my mind, that doesn't matter because it's not the reason that he's not in. Obviously, there's not a single person on planet Earth that would say, statistically, Barry Bonds doesn't deserve to be in. The reason he's not in is because of the whole steroid thing. I believe he should be in. I believe he should have been in on the first ballot. The reason, well, there's plenty. The numbers, he played during an era considered the steroid era that we've decided to not just wipe off the face of the earth because, oh, guess what? It saved baseball.
League.
It saved baseball.
But it was openly known that everybody was taking them.
Well, right.
It's not like a hidden thing, and I'm sure if you really went through everybody that's in the Hall of Fame, you're going to find a lot of other people that were also taking steroids.
I mean, look.
They just didn't get caught.
Sports in general, you're trying to find an edge where you can.
Yep.
And the majority, guess what? Many of the guys in the Hall of Fame, especially the older guys, were taking greenies when greenies weren't allowed to be used. And now
there
we get to this.
Buckets in the clubhouse.
We get to this time where steroids are being used, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, whoa, this is awful, and you're not allowed to do this, and you're never, ever going to be in the Hall of Fame, except for some of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. We're not going to take them out, but you're not allowed in. And it's like, what? Come on, like what are we doing here? This is an era of baseball that saved baseball.
Yeah.
The home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa saved baseball. Brought so many eyes back after the strike, and it allowed people to come back to the game and fall back in love with it, and it was exciting. And it's a time period that we still acknowledge in the record book, and it's a time period that we should acknowledge in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And I have said this many times. If you want to just acknowledge what was happening in the Hall of Fame museum, do it. Put them in the Hall of Fame. Make a steroid era wing and just say, hey, this is a big part of baseball. This is what was happening. But these were the best of the best during that time and some of the best of all time, and they deserve to be recognized for what they were doing. So I'm totally fine with that. I don't care if you have to walk into another wing that says, hey, this was a time period where steroids were being used. Here's who is the best of the best. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. Come on, what are we doing? I completely agree with you. Barry Bonds should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame, but he is not on this ballot anymore. His time is up, but he is on. He's still able.
In the contemporary era committee ballot.
Contemporary era committee ballot
for baseball.
One more name before we move on to name that free agent.
Yep.
Billy Wagner, for me. Billy Wagner deserves to be in. A career 2.31 ERA. Saved 86% of games, 1,200 strikeouts, 7-time All-Star, 6th all-time in saves. I mean, Billy Wagner should be in because of, one, how dominant he was. Two, the story itself that Billy Wagner, I mean, one, come on. The guy was right-handed, growing up, broke his right arm, taught himself to throw left-handed, ends up throwing 100 miles an hour left-handed and being one of the greatest closers of all time. That's a great story to tell in the Hall of Fame. Why not just put him in and tell the story? Absolutely should. His 9 seasons of at least 30 saves and a strikeout percentage of .30 or higher are tied for 4th most all time, with Joe Nathan and behind only Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, and Lee Smith. Hall of Famers. Unbelievable. Funny Billy Wagner story for you.
I'm ready for it.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I've been vocal about this the last few years around the time that we are right now when voting becomes talked about. Billy Wagner, Virginia guy. So shout out Virginia. Hope this shout out Virginia. It's really going to appreciate my shout out. He should be in. And I've been vocal about this on social media, on Twitter. And I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, I was going on about his numbers, why he should be in. And somebody responded to a tweet of mine, like, tagging him on Twitter. Like, yeah, @ Billy Wagner should be in. I was like, oh, I didn't know this guy had a Twitter. Went to click on his Twitter account. I'm blocked.
Ooh.
Billy Wagner has me blocked on Twitter.
Did you say something mean about him before?
No, never. Alex, I don't say anything mean about anybody. I'm the most positive guy in the baseball media circle. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. What could I possibly be saying?
You and social media have a very interesting relationship.
People don't like the positivity.
They're jealous.
How dare you celebrate players that deserve to be celebrated? How dare I? So I'm blocked.
That's hilarious.
But I still want him to get in.
That's hilarious.
So maybe he follows MLB on Fox, and this will be posted, and he'll see.
Just give him a plead.
Hey, Billy Wagner.
Unblock me.
Unblock me, pal. Virginia buddies. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame if I had a vote.
Just do it.
Just do it, man.
Just do it.
Hit that unblock button. All right. Let's name that free agent.
Yeah.
Guess that free agent. Whatever we're calling it these days.
Ooh.
First week, I went 5 for 5.
Yep.
They're not the top. Now this is getting tougher, so I hear.
Yep.
The first week wasn't like the top 10 free agents. They were middle of the road. Last week got harder.
Yeah.
And I hear we're getting harder. So everybody, play along with me. Alex is going to give me this player's 3 prior teams, and I'm going to have to guess who the free agent is. And I believe I get 30 seconds to do
you
so.
Do.
I got 5 names. So, my friends, let's do this.
Are you ready to start?
I'm ready.
All right. Free agent number 1 was on the Royals, Giants, and White Sox. Name that free agent.
So the Royals, then the Giants, then the White Sox. I know we're just using stock silhouettes, but I feel like this one gives it away.
Okay.
This is Johnny Cueto.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good for him. Good and his hair.
Yeah. Good start.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Good start.
All right. Ready for your second free agent?
I'm ready.
3 teams were the Rangers, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. Name that free agent.
Rangers to the Yankees to the Dodgers. Not really a fan favorite in New York and LA, but they liked him in Texas. This player's Joey Gallo.
Yeah! What?
Two for two.
On Fuego today?
If I go five for five on a day like today.
That you were told you were maybe going to get two?
That I was told that two would be a feat. Well, guess what, my friends? I'm at two.
All right.
So let's keep on rolling.
Let's keep it going. Ready?
Yep.
Free agent number three was on the Mariners, the Blue Jays, and the Mets.
Mariners?
Name that free agent.
Mariners, then the Blue Jays, then the Mets. Mariners, then the Blue Jays, then the Mets. So it was on the Mets last. I have a thought.
Okay. You got 13 seconds.
Is it?
Okay. Look at the photo.
Me off. The photo.
No.
Is it Taijuan Walker?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, man. At the buzzer.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right.
For some reason, I wasn't remembering.
Was that your first thought? When you said, I have a thought, was that who you thought it was?
Yeah, that was my thought.
Minute?
No.
Oh,
that
great.
Was my thought. I knew Mariners in my head.
Okay.
I knew Mets. And then I kind of vaguely thought, like, all right, I guess there was a bit of time in there. In the Blue Jays organization. But yeah, we're three for three.
Ready for free agent number four?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Let's do it. Free agent number four was on the Giants, the Padres, and the Cardinals. Name that free agent.
That's the Pirates. Giants, Pirates, Cardinals? Yes. Okay. Giants, then the Pirates, then the Cardinals.
Yes.
Oh. Giants, Pirates, Cardinals. Who could this be? Giants.
Come on, just say a name.
Pirates.
Two, one, go.
Dakota Hudson.
No. Jose Quintana.
Jose Quintana. Man, he's...
Who was also an Angel.
Yeah, he's
been everywhere.
He's been on every team.
He's literally been on...
That's why this was so difficult because when I think Jose Quintana, I thought he's been on three teams in the last year. It feels like because the Cubs were in there recently, the White Sox were in there recently,
the Angels when I was still covering them, a couple years ago. Yeah,
that was tough.
Okay,
that was tough. If you got that one, shout out you because that was difficult.
All right, ready for our
last
one?
So I'm three for four.
You're doing good.
Thank you.
Free agent number five was on the Pirates, the Padres, and the Mariners.
Pirates, Padres, Mariners. Haven't even seen the silhouette yet. My mind goes to Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
Is this
what?
Adam Frazier?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I didn't even get the clock up yet. I didn't even say that free agent, and the clock wasn't even up.
I am, for
and Fuego.
For the TikTok crew out there. That likes to say that, oh, I got this immediately. No way you beat me on that one. No way. Yeah.
We're getting a little competitive.
4 for 5.
On a day that they said it would be good if you got two.
I might have found my calling in life.
Dang.
Naming.
Free agents.
Free agents.
I mean, we've been talking a lot of free agents.
Because Adam Frazier was very much so not random with the, this will sound weird, but not random with the Pirates because he was great. Padres, not great. Mariners, not great. But I found my calling in life.
Yeah. Well, we got we kind of got our first big free agent signing.
Finally.
Yesterday. 2 days ago? It was
yesterday.
Like, here it is.
Monday.
Here it is. Jose Abreu.
What's today? Tuesday. Yes. It was Monday. Jose Abreu signs a 3-year deal with the Houston Astros. The prized first baseman.
Yeah.
Available, right? Signs with the Houston Astros, the team coming off a World Series victory just a few short weeks ago. We were there. We saw how dominant they were. They've been the best team in baseball, and they just keep getting better. Hey, guess what? In 2021, Yuli Gurriel, the first baseman, wins the batting title and a gold glove. In 2022, a bit of a regression.
Yeah.
So what do? They go out and get former MVP Jose Abreu and sign him to a 3-year deal. Coming off, and I don't want people to think that Jose Abreu has taken much of a step backwards. He wins the MVP in the shortened season, 2020. Last year, his numbers were good. Real good.
Mm-hmm.
I believe either second or third last year, Jose Abreu would have had the second or third best OPS on the New York Yankees. I mean, this guy is still an elite slugger in the game, and good for him to move on to sign with the Astros and to get that 3-year deal. Because, as you know, I'm a big fan of players getting that money. Go get your money.
And congrats to you for being 0-1 on your free agent predictions because you picked Josh Bell to the Astros, but you originally had Abreu going there, and you changed it last minute.
So mad at myself because I did 10 names, right?
Yep.
And technically I'm not 0-1, but I highly doubt that the Astros are going to now sign Josh Bell. But when I put together my list of names, right?
Yeah.
To send in and to get on the show and then to get the graphic made.
When we had our meeting, he was up there.
I had 9 other names. Josh Bell to the Astros was not on the list. Jose Abreu to the Astros was on the list. And I, after that meeting, decided, and you know what? I remember when it was. I was literally going to sleep. It was like 12:30. And I was like, oh my God, I had an epiphany. Josh Bell.
Don't listen to those late night epiphanies.
And my parents used to tell me this all the time. Nothing good happens after midnight. And I didn't listen. I changed my free agent predictions to Josh Bell of the Astros and took Jose Abreu off. But Jose Abreu is the one going there. Huge deal for him. Huge deal for the Houston Astros, who just continue to get better.
Yeah.
They continue to look, the Houston Astros over the course of the last 6 to 10 years have been, I think, the best team in baseball. I think there was an argument for them and the Dodgers were neck and neck. Well, guess what? Now the Astros got that second championship, and the Astros have been the best team over the course of the last decade. And they just continue to get better, and they continue to separate themselves. And I know it's early, but the Astros had a hole.
Yeah.
It was at first base.
They filled it.
And they filled it with the best first baseman on the market. What are the other teams doing? The New York Yankees are caught up trying to figure out how to get Aaron Judge, who's been on their team, and you haven't been winning with him. So they have a lot of work to do if you're the New York Yankees, who I don't believe are in the same hemisphere right now as the Houston Astros. The Astros are by far the best team in the American League, by far. And they just continue to lengthen that gap mm-hmm. from everybody else. The Astros are the best team in the American League, and that gap keeps getting wider, and it's getting even wider with Jose Abreu.
And their number one pitcher last year, your brother, Justin Verlander, also a free agent, someone we haven't spent a lot of time talking about because you didn't want to give away any insider information, but it has been publicly reported mm-hmm. that he met with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
What are you going to give us?
I will get absolutely talk to the Dodgers on Monday. That happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just start thinking of, like, this is a legitimately good fit.
It is.
What do the Dodgers need?
Pitching.
What is Justin good at?
Pitching.
And it's like, okay, for the last, it feels like there's this rivalry over the last few years, despite the Dodgers not being able to get back to the World Series this year because they won one playoff game. But there's this rivalry. It feels like ever since 2017.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want about the cheating scandal. This isn't a cheating scandal thing anymore. This is just the two best teams in each league, the Astros and the Dodgers, and it's like an arms race.
Yeah.
Quite literally, this is an arms race now. I think this. Let's take other teams out of it, because there are certainly other teams in play here. Yeah. The Dodgers are a team in play, and the Astros are a team in play.
Yes.
I believe whoever goes out and gets Justin will win the World Series next year.
Ooh, hot take. Now, if he ends up in LA, we talked about this with Carlos Correa. If he ends up on the Dodgers, your brother was on that team too, that 2017 team. Would Dodger fans accept a Verlander?
Yes. Well, a Verlander, yes. They'd accept my brother. They wouldn't accept me.
So you Dodgers don't think he would get booed the same way that Correa would?
No. I think, look, Correa's different in all of that just because of the way he handled everything. Very unapologetic, very in your face with F you and F you, whatever.
Villain.
Go ahead. Say what you want. Look, Justin, one, wasn't speaking like that. And two, he's a pitcher. They'd be fine. The only reason any Dodgers fans wouldn't want Justin there is because of me. And
have you been getting some feedback?
Oh yeah. The second it was rumored, like, Dodgers linked to Justin, I woke up that morning, my mentions were full of, oh no, that means Ben Verlander would be covering the one. That's not true. I cover literally everybody that needs it. But my mentions were full. It was, well, look, I actually have here. Let me find one.
Oh, you're going to read a mean tweet?
We
should have
a
mean tweet segment. You know, they have it on the late night shows.
Yeah.
So you read it with a kind voice at the camera.
My mentions that morning were full of, here it is right here. It was a lot of this.
Okay.
JV is bringing Ben Verlander with him to LA. I'm ending my life. At Ben Verlander, I do not like you. It's just full
it's
of
so
that.
It's so mean. Why you gotta be so mean?
I think it's funny. Justin would be accepted.
All right.
I would not be, and it's totally clearly okay. But I will go back to the point I just made. I think if it's between those two, teams, right? what is it? Oh my God, we have more tweets up. Realizing if Justin Verlander comes to the Dodgers, so does Ben, with a gif.
Very disappointed face.
By the way, this person's username on Twitter is hashtag Correa to Dodgers.
Oh, interesting.
But there were many of these. Oh, it keeps going. Shout out to our producers here that are just rolling along with these. They just went out and found. There's good luck finding all of them, because I woke up with hundreds of them. Cat Misses Baseball says, I am fine with Justin Verlander going to the Dodgers. Take Ben, too. They are already cursed.
How?
Well, because they've won one championship, and they've been the best team in baseball for a decade, and they're one champion.
They're already cursed.
I would say.
Oh, I thought they were saying the Verlanders were already cursed. So I'm like, wouldn't it be good luck? Because you got two World Series?
No, I'm not. They just don't.
Got it.
They don't want me.
Got it. It's okay.
We need
to bring you to Dodger Stadium and just show support.
It was during the playoffs last year. Last year?
Yeah.
Not this recent. It was 2021 playoffs. I went to Dodger Stadium and I was walking the concourse and I walked by this condiment station.
Yeah.
And there were like flyers, right? Like 20, it looked like note cards.
Yeah.
And I saw the Astros logo on it, but it had it was with a trash can in the background.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are these? And I forget exactly what it said, but it was something like, it was like these hate messages of the Astros. Like, we know we're cheaters. We didn't deserve the championship. And somebody just made these and I picked them up and I tweeted it. And people were like, Ben Verlander planted those in Dodger Stadium. People give me way too much credit for having the time to be as petty as they think I am. But
it's entertaining.
I'm not super welcomed in Dodger Stadium. It would be interesting. Here's another tweet. Great. Before I can even, I'm really on the fence about Justin Verlander potentially being a viable option for the Dodgers. On one hand, Kate Upton, but on the other hand, Ben Verlander. I like that a lot.
Yeah. She evens you out.
That's a good one.
Accept it.
I that's a good one. So, yeah, I believe between the Houston Astros and the Dodgers, if one of those teams get him, they'll win the World Series. I think it's that. I think back in 2017 we saw it because that situation, Justin was traded late in the year, and the Dodgers were between going for Justin or going for Yu Darvish. And I think had they gone Justin there, I think there's a potential they could have won that World Series because the Astros beat Yu Darvish twice in that World Series, and say what you want, Yu Darvish was tipping his own pitches and Astros got to him. I think it's a big difference that year if Justin goes there. So yeah, but he is on the market, didn't meet with the Dodgers on Monday. What's gonna happen? I don't know. Justin doesn't know, but yeah.
Meeting a lot of big names of free agency. We're just waiting for one domino to fall, and then I feel like they're all gonna start.
Yeah, we're close. Jose Abreu, kind of the first bigger name to go. Justin being one of those, meeting with the Dodgers. Things are going to heat up here soon, and they're already starting to. But that does it, Alex, for today's episode. World Cup on Fox. Literally
5 minutes
now. We're
Four
just
minutes?
A couple of minutes away
so
as
off.
We are now recording. Team USA versus Iran. Win. And we're in,
yes,
as the kids say. Alex and I have on our lucky, hopefully, Team USA sweaters.
I believe that
sweaters,
we can win. I believe that we can win.
Almost knocked my... Mine says Verlander on the back. Alex says Curry on the back. Almost game time. Go Team USA. Go hot stove in baseball. We want things to happen, but we will be back soon. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast. Apple, Spotify, wherever. We're also on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I know I mentioned TikTok earlier. A bunch of the show clips come out. All of the Name That Free Agents come out on TikTok at Flippin' Bats for all of social media, including YouTube, where you can watch every single episode at Flippin' Bats Pod. Thank you all for listening. This one has been a blast, and I'm sure next time we will have a lot more free agent stuff to talk about because it is rolling now. But until next time, this has been another episode of Flippin' Bats.
See ya.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.